Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are Reclaiming the Republic with your help. Without your help, we can't do it. This is why we are giving you all the facts and information. This is why this is the only show that provides you the academic evidence as well as the academic evidence-based solutions. This show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. I would be remiss if I didn't at least plug it at the very beginning, because they don't have a promo for these guys yet, but the Timber Nation, check them out. If you're looking for any type of real hardwood quality furnishings, shelving, component racks for your entertainment system, what have you. They do desks, tables. And if you go and look at some of these other companies that are kind of large companies like wood, you know, barn furnitures and stuff like that, contrast them and their costs with these guys. These guys are definitely very, very competitive. Their quality is awesome. And so highly recommend TimberNation.com. Red Pill Expo is moving forward. It is going to happen, and it will be in Lafayette, Louisiana. This will be open for your legislators to attend at no cost. If they want to attend the VIP stuff, like the dinner and that type of thing, then they'll have to pay for that, but that's all they'll be covering, is those ancillary things. To attend Red Pill Expo, it is free for any state legislator, representative, or state senator. I don't think we're doing this for federal, but anyway, hopefully not. And we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. As we've gone through this process of Republic, we're going to try to get into the nuts and bolts of this. And so it may be a little confusing, but if you go back and read the documents, and we're going to be updating them, because as I go through them, I find little things, and I'll go back through them, clean them up, and we'll repost those. When we do, I'll let you know. But I'm here to tell you that if you go back and read them, if you're confused in any way and you have, you know, questions or comments regarding them, by all means, send me your questions or comments, and we'll make sure we help clarify that, because it's all about making it clearer and better. I do understand that I am not necessarily the best communicator. I mean, nobody's perfect in communications. We all sometimes choose the wrong words. Many of the good ones fail. They fail by the sword of the tongue, especially when they, you know, have a terrible slip or what have you. But anywho, let's get moving forward. I want to plug this, though. You're going to want to tune in to these next couple of weeks, because we're going to drive into the nuts and bolts of what you can do and how you can do this, how you can actually, because there's probably a good likelihood that your county does not have an NLA leader in it, and your county does not have a Constitution Party leader in it. There may be a few people, but there may not be a chair to your county. You could be organizing your county, and you could be that integral part of making a pivotal change in your county from the status quo direction and the lackadaisical, or the stoic state that it is in, and move it into a vibrant constitutional and constitutionally active county, getting your public servants, who are probably good, if you're in a dark red county, you're probably in a real good county that people could actually get, you know, active about, but they're just stoic because they don't know what to do. All you have to do is start telling them, this is what we've got to do, and it will make sense, because it does make sense. Most of the people, nobody's ever been able to, you know, knock me off my feet here on this argument. And as a matter of fact, you hear people when I talk to them, like Doug Gibbs. I mean, Doug Gibbs recognizes this whole concept of Republic Review. This is why he's added it to his tool belt. The same thing with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. I mean, I don't want to say he's crediting me, because I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. What I'm trying to do is I'm saying Madison and Jefferson's argument is irrefutable. And so because I'm clinging to that, and okay, I'm using intellectual property and copyrights to protect that, because they didn't do it, nobody has since then. Because everybody's is, and the reason why I'm in this position of having these copyrights and intellectual property standing is because everybody clings to the Federalist Papers. Everybody clings to these old, you know, standards that they didn't think that there were any other standards or anything better. And I'm the guy that challenged that. I said, you know what, let me read these ratification debates. Wow. And people say, oh, that's for history stuff. No, this actually is legal stuff. These are the legal, irrefutable arguments in supporting the limitations and redefining the Constitution as the framers did. Anywho, let us move forward. We're on paragraph 5 for you, if you printed out going through this. Once we have 13 states, or once 13 states have joined Republic Review, then the states will organize the process. In other words, they're actually going to start creating these committees so that when new states come in, we need to add you to this committee, and you know, keep things moving along so that by the time the last state or the last couple of states come in, the only thing that's holding up these directives is getting the states to complete their little process of the audit that is unique for them alone. Because I believe once, and let me go through those auditable items, right? There is the research of defining, you know, what roles, responsibilities are not within enumerated powers. And then they need to audit the rulings on the Supreme Court. Now, most of this stuff, most of that legwork for these other states, unless there's something unique within that state that the, you know, the Supreme Court had ruled that affected that state only, I really doubt that that'll be big issues. But my point is that most all of this will be just basically crossing through, check you did this, okay, instead of having to do all the research and legwork, because the first few states will carry that burden. And as we bring more states on, the less there is. It's the same thing with auditing the executive orders. Same thing with auditing the treaties. That's one common pot that has to be gone through. And then every other state that goes through it will verify it. And hopefully they do verify it as they go through because they have the time. And they do a good, accurate verification. Yep. Any challenges? Like I said, enough people will be watching once a few states get involved in this to say, hey, what about this treaty? Why isn't that constitutional? And then when they disclose, you know, the ratification base clearly delineated that this is not, you know, that the treaties can only be within enumerated powers, and this is obviously not an enumerated power. That's why this and all these types of treaties are considered unconstitutional. So the Senate had no jurisdiction to ratify a treaty. They had no authority to ratify a treaty to do that. That's why, you know, as we get to the 26th and 27th state, you know, most all of that will all be done. All of these, either the audit, administrative audit stuff will be done, except for the auditing within the own state itself, where the state is looking at the how it ratified amendments and those types of things. So that'll take a little while that the states will have to do that. Now, you have to understand that it's not binary. It's not like it's not doing anything. Boom, it's on and it's going. What can happen in the background is these state legislators who are pushing and building momentum to push the state over. What we're talking about, and I want to be really clear because I had this conversation because, you know, I'm constantly being pulled by people because I don't want to say that they're negative. They're maybe a little more pragmatic. Or they are thinking, you know, you'll never get this. And what I mean by this is that the comments that I got yesterday was that there's no state right now that's capable of doing this. Absolutely not. We have to have a governor. We have to have an attorney general. And we have to have a state legislative, you know, the whole legislative body. And I don't mean the whole legislative body, because there is a good likelihood that there are dark blue districts within a state. Even in Wyoming, I think Cheyenne and over by Jackson Hole and possibly Casper, there's a couple of little bastions where, you know, Democrats get are going to be elected. So here's the thing. As we start moving and we finally get and we turn Wyoming state legislature, what happens is your state legislatures become your Thomas Jeffersons and Madisons and Kings and all of these other, you know, prominent leaders for the state. And they're actually going to be, they need to be the leaders and the spokesmen in telling the people what they have to do and what we need to do if we're going to maintain our Constitution. They have to be very forthright in saying, everything is on the line, folks. Believe it or not, we are in a political revolution, and what we see with these protests and what we see with government and all of the powers that government has already assumed is the evidence that we're in a communist revolution. And when it happens, when they actually flip it over, if we don't stop them before that, or at least at that point when they try, it's over. And you believe me, you don't want to take your chances of, you know, playing chicken in the last minute. It's better to hedge our bets and actually assume control and put us back on the path we need to be, constitutionally, we all want to be on. So anyway, so when you look at a snapshot in time of politics, no, there's no governor. Not even Noam is that constitutional. There's no attorney general that's constitutional. Now, there's an attorney general running in Idaho. His name's Art Macomber, and I would love to have Art Macomber on the show. I'd love to talk to him, but he's kind of gaffing me off, and I'm going, so what the heck is this guy doing? Anyway, I've got a break. I don't want to bleed into it like I've been doing, so we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so here we go. And where we are now, again, paragraph 5. Once we have 13 states, this is where we actually start creating these committees, committee members, and actually start creating the flow of how the committees basically process the information and how they work through it. And so as we go through this, and as they start forming these committees, well, what we're going to basically do is also confirm some really important stuff. So the following text is red. Now, again, as I pointed out before, the red text is really to help you when you're dealing with a John Birch Society person who is trying to mislead people or providing misleading information regarding Republic View, here you go. Because here are the things that are important. Because when we have 13 states, it's not only that we're going to get organized and actually have this process, but now we have 13 states that I basically stated this way. Each of these states have resolved and committed to not ratify any amendments until the general government is within compliance to the constitutional or on schedule to be in full compliance. In other words, they have already passed the directives and now have a 1 year or a 2 year schedule of downsizing and disbanding this particular department. Let's say it's the Department of Energy, because it may take a little while because of the data and so forth. So as we kind of look at, you know, that, then, okay, what that means is now we have a block to any amendments, because 13 states means that there's no way the federal government, even if the federal government, Congress passed by 2/3 an amendment to the Constitution, having 13 states committed to not amending the Constitution until we're at full compliance or scheduled full compliance, or the full compliance is hard scheduled, then it's moot. There's no point in having a convention of states. Even if the convention of states is getting ready to go off, kick off, and have their meeting, it's done. There's no point in doing it because we have to wait until everything is all finalized. The federal government has finally accepted all of this stuff, because we have to focus on forcing them to comply before we even consider allowing the federal government to provide us with an amendment, and even more crazily, allowing a convention to happen. Now, one of these bullet points I'm going to point out, and I'm going to probably repeat it so many times that it may, you know, get you upset, because I want you to hear this. Okay, the sub-bullet for this is 13 states is the threshold that will block the ability for any amendment to be ratified until the completion of Republic Review. This will keep the general government from being able to validate any unconstitutional RRP, role, responsibility, or power, by finally following the amendment process. Because, hey, they haven't followed the amendment process for centuries. So why? They've just been assuming these things. So why allow them to even, you know, create a valid new role, responsibility, or power? This will also completely negate any efforts by those trying to convene any Article 5 convention, or convene an Article 5 convention. The funding for this must be paid for, by the way, and most people don't realize this. Who pays for the Article 5 convention? It's not the federal government. The states have to pay for this. Thus, any money being spent would be a complete waste of time and a waste of states' valuable resources, because they can't print money. Once each state, now moving on into the regular text, once each state has verified the legal ratification of amendments and has confirmed the constitutional violations for illegally ratified amendments and the RRPs and the RRP disposition states, the body of the whole, all the states, will begin a joint formal review of the roles, responsibilities, and powers. Formally set up these three, and I've told you that this is the step where they formally do this. They could start kind of preparing and getting things done, but this is the step where they formally set up three committees amongst the coalesced republic. Once we have 13. The research committee, this committee was set up in each independent state prior to this stage. The dissolvent and decommission committee. Basically, this is the one that creates the directives to dissolve and decommission. And then the amendment recommendation committee. Again, everything has to go into dissolvement and decommission. And then once that is started, then the amendment recommendation can then forward out. Once Congress has done this, they can actually forward out and say, okay, once we're done with Republic Review, you can provide us any consideration of amendments for these things. In other words, this doesn't go back to the states to kick into gear for a convention. This goes to Congress to say, okay, now that we're disbanding everything that you're doing, we honestly think that, you know, the Center for Disease Control might be a good thing to do. It's after the section, or two more paragraphs down, so I'm not going to kind of spoil it, because, well, let's wait till we get to it. The Amendment Recommendation Committee, but basically we'll just say, we believe that this might be a suitable power for you, but it's unconstitutional as of now. And so if you want to work on and provide us with a recommendation, or, you know, both houses pass an amendment for us to consider, we will consider those once Republic Review is done. So the next sub-bullet is, in the research committee, each role, responsibility, and power is reviewed as to its constitutionality. All violations will be parsed and sent to either the dissolvement and decommission committee or the recommendation committee. And actually, this has to be and I have to actually kind of change this. It's not or, it would be and, because if it is a violation, it's a violation, and it needs to be dissolved and decommissioned or scheduled for, not, you know, bypass that and allow them to forward an amendment, just to be clear. So it's not very clear right here, so I just made a minor change to this, because we do want to make sure the federal government is forced into shutting down and disbanding every unconstitutional power, all their spending, and get them back into check. Each role, responsibility, and power must be assessed as to its value, cost, scope, and function, both in a historic and current context to the Republic. Now, what I want you to understand here is, as we look at some of the stuff that they've created, some of the stuff that they've gathered together, some of the stuff that they have spent money on all of this stuff, we have to look at the entire history, because we actually have to actualize. We have to actualize how much debt they have unconstitutionally created, so that we can actually go and identify this to the world and say, look, you know, we had a government that ran out of control. We've been lied to for years, and we're now setting things straight. And we're not accountable based on our Constitution. We can't be held accountable legally. This has all been done on fraud. And unfortunately, you've been defrauded yourself by all of these people that have been, you know, from your country and every country that's doing this. And they don't understand that we have a limited, you know, government and limited powers here. And the fact that they're banking on the idea that they can get away with these things, they're equally duplicit. That the whole world, maybe not the people of the world, but these leaders, bankers, and these scoundrels, these unscrupulous scoundrels, have, you know, created this huge problem. And bottom line, they have been siphoning off money, just like with the stock market. The money that they manipulate off the stock market always lines the pockets of the world elite. And so I'm going to tell you something. It may not happen here in America, but in the rest of the world will want their pound of flesh out of Soros if he's in Greece, if he's in some country where they can get their hands on him, and they will want to get their hands on him. Does that make sense? I hope it does, because there's going to be a lot of people who are going to want to come here to the United States. And this is why I'm kind of putting it out there. We really need to revisit the Tory Acts. We should not be harboring anybody that wants protection from the justice that those other countries would want. We should want and extract justice as well. This is why in my previous show, I mentioned that every president needs to be tried for treason. And if it's proven that they actually willingly, because Trump is not a constitutional lawyer, but Obama is. So Obama should know. And Obama knows exactly how he's perverting and exactly how he's defiling our essence, our Constitution. And I'm going to say, if I'm going to prognosticate what the outcome would be of a treason trial with Obama, I'm going to say he's going to get guilty. He's going to be found guilty, and he'll probably hang. Bush, he's kind of an idiot. You know, and he's everybody's idiot, because everybody's taking their pot shots at him, from conservatives to liberals. But he's been a huge and complicit in all of this bad behavior. And I'm saying, well, okay, you know, can we say that he really knew? I don't know, but because he's not a constitutional lawyer, but Clinton was. Clinton's a lawyer, and boy, I feel his pain, and he should feel his pain too. So I would prognosticate that if he actually was tried for treason, he would become priority number one because of what he did, the secrets, and how he gave away our technological advantages to China, who is now our greatest enemy. You can't tell me that he should not be first in line in this impeachment process. So, wow, we're at another break. So we're going to be right back after these two promos. But the bottom line is, I'm just giving you a prognostication that if they really go through justice and a trial system, I believe these guys will be found guilty and they're going to hang. So, and I have faith in our justice system. Everybody should, if we apply it as it is intended and as it is written. We'll be right back after these two promos. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me get back up to this, you know, this subparagraph where we were at. I went down this rat hole of treason and hanging people and so forth, because that is the punishment. That is the punishment for committing treason. And this all has to be kicked off with impeachments. Every president that has violated the Constitution while they're in office, even if they're out of office, they can be impeached. Now, if you have an exception to that, you don't think that a former president can be impeached, give me a call. Because a lot of times you may not have heard why I've done this and I don't want to do another whole show on it. So give me a call and, you know, or send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Because, and I'll just give you a real quick look at it, they wrote the Constitution prior to there being a former presidency office, because a former president is an office within the government. They receive an annual salary. It's a retirement check, as well as other emoluments. And the whole point of impeachment is to remove the burden of emoluments from somebody who has violated their oath of office. In other words, no more security details, no more flights to go get security briefs and access to government agencies, and to be able to say you're a former president. You have been impeached and removed from the presidency and have no honor or position as a American politician anymore. We remove those emoluments and we remove that. So that's why it's really, really important to start understanding the Constitution, because this means that both Bushes should be impeached. And there's no reason why we don't impeach some of these former presidents. That's right. Former presidents that may have even passed on. There was a point in time when people finally woke up, and it was on the bad side of revolutions, and I don't want to be on the bad side of this revolution of waking up. And I'm not talking about the woke wake up. I'm talking about the truth wake up. How we've been lied to regarding what our Constitution is, what our government can do, and all of these things. And we need to make things right. And a part of that is removing these people from their stations and their ability to fly around and say, I'm a former president. The only thing they can say is, I've been an impeached and I'm a disgrace to my country. And as a matter of fact, I honestly think that we need to kick it up a notch and actually deport them so that they're no longer allowed to be here. Let some other country protect their butt. They don't deserve any of our loyalty or any of our money, efforts, taxes, or anything in any manner, in any way. And so I just think we ought to deport them, and that's where the Tory Act comes in. Anybody that has been proven disloyal to the Constitution should be deported. Anyway, so in the research committee, each RRP, this role, responsibility, or power, is reviewed as to its constitutionally. All violations will be parched and either sent to the dissolvement and the Amendment Recommendation Committee. I know I already read this, but I just wanted to kind of pick it up where I left off. Each RRP must be assessed to its value, cost, scope, and function, both in a historic and a current context to the Republic. Paragraph 6. For me, it's 7. But for you, it's 6 if you're actually reading what we got. Continuation of obtaining additional states to create political critical mass and political force. And so I got to add that because I didn't mention, but I believe political force is important. And so to continue to create this, we need to get 27 states. Political critical mass is obtained when the states involved in Republican review constitute a majority in both the House and the Senate. Currently, now, so when I gave these numbers, it was currently based on apportionment on the 2010 census. Apportionments changed, and I'm not sure where and what the states now are going to have. I have a snapshot of what it was for the 2020, but that was not in accounting for the 2020 census, remember. And so these are the current states based on the 2020 apportionment. Wyoming, South Dakota, Idaho, Utah, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, Kansas, Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin. See, as many of these states have definitely blue cities and have Democratic representatives. So as these states start waking up, and as the control of these states actually shifts from a lackadaisical, we don't care about your oath, to either you support the Constitution or getting rid of you, many of these states will actually start, the Democrats will continue to try to put people in office, and they will be removed when they fail to support the Constitution. Because if they're voting for and pushing bills that violate the Constitution, that's supporting rebellion against the Constitution. You can't do it. You have to support the Constitution. You can't commit moral perjury. So as I move on, South Carolina, Michigan, Kansas, Florida, LU. I'm going to say that probably should have been an LA. Is it LU for Louisiana? I thought it was LA. I'm pretty sure it's LA. Anyway, West Virginia, Georgia, Montana, Alabama, Texas, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, and Iowa. See, I get all tongue-tied. I firmly believe that I was probably, I could be classified as dyslexic and or what have you. Anyway, the next sub-bullet. The reason a majority of both houses is required to support Republican view is to ensure enough of the Congress will cooperate or forced to cooperate. And I got to add that in here too, because there's a good likelihood that some of these, we're counting on every single one of these congressmen voting for it. So to convert all of the state is essential. This is why, as we start getting the Republic Review moving in the state house, we need the state houses to start actually policing themselves and saying, look, we're going to start enforcing the Constitution here locally. And until we can get it done at a federal level, we will require it to be done locally. And so they may need to pass laws to actually say it doesn't require, you know, even though Section 6 allows, or Section 3 of the 14th Amendment allows two-thirds of Congress, we're actually going to say, yeah, you can actually have the disability removed, but you will not have the disability removed from this state. Because you can add that to say that we actually consider, you know, that defiling unforgivable for this state, and you're going to have to go to another state. If the federal government is going to allow you to be a public servant, you'll have to go to another state and enforce that issue. Because you can't be less stringent than the Constitution, but you can always add on top of that. You can add an extra layer on top of that as long as you adhere to and allow them to go get that. Okay, well, you can get that, but you can't get that here. You know, we're going to deny you that. And that would probably be a federal court case if somebody wanted to do that. But clearly, the federal government cannot force a state to forgive somebody that has committed treason or moral perjury while they were serving this state. It's one thing for them to do that for the federal level and say, okay, we'll allow you to have a federal office again. But if the state doesn't allow it, then you, because states actually have the ability to set their own parameters. They can, and I believe they can do this. Maybe I'm wrong. But I know when it comes to security and those types of things, you can go farther than what the federal government does. So I'm thinking for security purposes and for securing our government, they can go farther. So anywho, moving on. It is anticipated. So yeah, the reason a majority in both houses is required to support Republican view is to ensure enough of Congress will cooperate and or be forced to cooperate with the Republic Review process by decommissioning all of these things, because only a simple majority is required to repass this type of required legislation. It is anticipated that Congress will not cooperate with the state's intent to obtain compliance to the Constitution until the states have the constitutional leverage to apply enough political pressure on their representatives in both houses and of Congress. So, or both houses of Congress. And so this will all get kind of cleaned up so there's less conflict. And we point to specifically Article 7 and Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, that these people were tried of treason and they were at least found guilty of, and then we basically did Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and remove them from office, so forth and so on. And I believe that it behooved of the states to start passing laws to say, you know, we not only support Section 3, but we go down the path of amending the Constitution. The state Constitution dictates that anybody that becomes guilty of Section 3 is removed from eligibility of running for office ever in that state again. And so let that then be the challenge, because now it becomes a constitutional challenge that's on top of the federal constitution. I would like to see how that would go. And anyway, but who knows? I think as we become a more moral and a more liberal, classically liberal society in guaranteeing individual liberty and so forth, we're going to start deporting these people. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things maybe to bypass this whole legal problem is if you're found guilty, you have to leave the state, run them out of the state. If you are removed from office, you can no longer reside in this state. You have to basically sell all your assets. Out. Out you go. There you go. Anyway, we're going into a break. And we'll be right back. And we've got a big, important red-lettered note coming up. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me get back to paragraph 7. This is the RRP, the role, responsibility, and power disposition process. So we're getting towards the very end. Every RRP with a minimum of 13 states demanding dissolvent and or decommission of the unconstitutional RRPs and that the RRPs be returned to the state and the Republic will be sent to the Dissolvent and Decommission Committee. Actually, so every RRP that is a violation, that'll be forwarded to them. This process is performed by the entire body of the whole. Every RRP with a minimum of 38 states that desire the unconstitutional RRP to be restrained. In other words, if we don't have, I got to put some caveats in here, because if we don't have 38 states then that's involved in Republic Review, then this is a moot issue. Okay, I just want to make sure people understand that. That means that there, and actually, so I have this sub bullet, but so let me just continue reading. And I'll go, for every RRP with a minimum of 38 states that desire the unconstitutional RRP be retained, then the RRP will be forwarded to the Amendment Recommendation Committee. Subquote here, sub-bullet here. This implies that 38 states will be participating in Republic Review. Okay? So if we don't have 38 states, there's no amendment recommendation at all. But all unconstitutional powers do go to the Dissolve and Decommission Committee. However, with the current threshold of 27 states being necessary to dismantle all unconstitutional powers, getting 38 states involved is not needed and or anticipated. See what I just said? I'm not actually anticipating that there'll ever be a recommended amendment that comes out of this Republic Review process. Even though we may have 27 states, all of the states involved, say, we got to do this. You know, all things being considered and everything else, we think that it's best that we do this. Sorry, it won't go. You have to have 38 states to basically send the message to Congress. You already have an amendment, you know, opportunity to give us an amendment. So hopefully, if you think about it, it might actually lure some of the less blue states, you know, maybe the purple states or the light blue, not the dark blue, but the light blue states to actually come in and say, you know, we'll be involved in this process because, yeah, we get that. So just so that they can help get to the threshold of 38 states to create some amendments. But I doubt it. And when I say create amendments, these are creating amendment directives going to Congress, not creating petitions for an Article 5 convention. Okay? Note, here it is. Note, it is highly recommended that no amendment be recommended, period. The Republic will be better served. This is all red text. The Republic will be better served with a limited and outward-facing general government as designed by the framers, rather than allowing the general government to become involved in domestic matters. Now, I do have another, and is it in here? Where is it? I'm trying to read and not create dead air. The state's path for attending because, okay, so I do have it down here, and I believe that, yes, so there may be one recommended amendment that will come forth once Republic review is done. I'm just trying to do an early disclosure, and that's actually coming towards the very end, that there will be one. There will be one, and this is going to blow you away, and this will blow up the heads of everybody that's lying about Republic Review and saying it is a path for an Article 5 convention. Actually, matter of fact, we've got all the evidence otherwise. We actually shut down every state that joins this, rescinds their petition for the convention. And at the very end, this will blow you away. And the one recommended amendment to the Constitution, and I'm probably giving it away for anybody that has deductive reasoning, but let me move forward. The Dissolvement and Decommission Committee, this is the details on this. The committee uses the aforementioned assessments by the Research Committee to determine if each RRP processes personnel, resources, content, schedules, blah, 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 budget, value, and all that. And basically, they make this assessment. Then the RRPs with enough sufficient or significant deemed value will be decommissioned with fixed resource loaded schedules and budget requirements will be communicated to Congress in resolutions or actually directives. These will actually be directives, not resolutions. I want to make sure because a resolution and directive is different. And so they will be done in directives from the Republic requiring Congress to promulgate these specific directives in decommissioning. So what they're going to have to do is Congress is going to have to eat some crow. They're going to have to stand up in front of the American people in the world and say, you know, in 1849, the Department of Interior was created. However, we created this in a manner that usurped the state's powers and authorities, and we violated the Constitution. These people that were before us, it's not like the current class did this. This is something they inherited. This became a paradigm that became accepted and inherited, and it was an incorrect, illegal, and unconstitutional paradigm. So they're going to do this for each one to say this was done unconstitutionally. We never amended the Constitution to exercise this power, role, or responsibility. So to promulgate specific directives in decommissioning each of the RRPs along with the required transition of resources to be moved to the states. RRPs, roles, responsibility, powers that are identified as useless, such as education, will be dissolved with a very specific established timeline. So these directives that they're sending out, and my advice to the Republic Review Directive Committee is to ensure that 6 months of budget is given to that, not in, you know, projections. And if they've got spending for books and curriculum development, all of that gets shut down. All that money stops. No more checks are paid to any other company that's working on, you know, Bill Gates's Common Core crap. All of that shuts down immediately. The one thing that will be maintained is all personnel. All personnel will be kept for 6 months. Now, they can quit if they want and go somewhere else, but they will be kept for 6 months to help do a cleanup and a consolidation of facilities and administrative stuff so that they can literally get everything in a pile so that as they start letting people go, everything, all the doors can get locked as they start recouping the offices, you know, securing floors as they start evacuating these buildings so that when the Department of Education turns off its lights in every building it's operating in, I don't know what that is, then that building can then be, if you want to say, auctioned off and or sold for, and actually the directives will be provided for what the value of that building is. And so the federal government will have to, because right now, who pays the taxes for the federal property? There's no taxes. They just don't pay the bills. And so what we want to do is, in D.C., there are plenty of people, there are plenty of companies and businesses that operate, and these buildings will be transitioned from public sector, you know, ownership to a private sector ownership, so that they will be paying the District of Columbia property taxes and those types of things. But we want to make sure that the federal government does not allow it to be just given away, especially because, see, this is a problem, a part of the problem with the spoil system. Whatever administration is in office, they actually kind of give the advantage and they give away a building to somebody. Oh, we're going to give you this. Or they sell it so cheap that you go, how do you make that deal? How did the Clintons make this deal on buying cattle? Because they were given that. And even though it's not necessarily illegal, it reeks of immoral. And so this is why these properties will have an assessed sell value. And because that funding that is expected will be utilized to help fund the Social Security and the one thing that we still have this debt that we're going to pay everybody because we stuck it to everybody. They convinced us that they could do it and they did it to us and we're going to fix the Social Security problem and we're going to end it. We're fixing it and we're ending it and nobody has to worry about it. Okay, I want to be very clear on that. Nobody has to worry about it. The states will take care of this. And all of this property, I mean, look at how big the Leviathan of government, the EPA, all of these things. And look at the value of property currently in D.C. Now, it may go down quite a bit because there won't be so many bureaucrats there, but it'll open up opportunities for other businesses. If you catch my drift, what businesses will want to move to D.C. if all of a sudden every portal and every doorway of, you know, creating a way of giving money away at the expense of the American people, those doors shut? So the only businesses that would really have any, you know, dealings there would probably be defense businesses or intelligence businesses, and that's it. Because obviously national security is still a constitutional role, responsibility, and power. There you go. Anyway, RRPs that identified as useless, this is, okay, I just covered that. We didn't get to it. So we're going to be very clear, and you're going to have a bomb in our next episode. Wow, I got another about page and a quarter or so. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point
where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.